And we are live. Welcome to the Coaching Coach Podcast. We're back, refreshed. I guess that's what you want to call it. But the Coaching Coach Podcast, we are back and we are rolling once again. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. TikTok fans, we are here. We're waiting for you guys. Go ahead and hit that screen. Hit that subscribe button. If you're looking at us on Facebook Live, go ahead and join us. Share this. Share it with somebody. Let them know that the Coaching Coach Podcast is on. Those that will be listening to us in the morning, make sure that if you're listening to us on Spotify, on Amazon, on Apple Podcasts, you hit that subscribe button. Don't miss an episode of the Coaching Coach Podcast. Well, Coach, we are back, and it's time, man. Football is getting to the, it's getting to that real season now.
Yeah, we're entering, Saturday will be November 1. We're entering that critical time.
Man.
Jostling for position where you're going to play your postseason ball, or if you're going to get to play your postseason ball, it's all hands on deck, and you know I'll be sitting on the couch enjoying it.
Oh yeah. And this on the high school level, tomorrow I'll be able to fill out the brackets. Coach, I think I will have on TikTok Live, I will have a bracket show tomorrow, because I know 1 and 2A will be complete and figured out, so we'll know where everybody is going. We should also be able to, I'll also be able to do 3A and 4A. I think 5, 6, and 7 will complete theirs next week. But we'll at least know how those first four classes will be and where they'll be going, and just kind of getting an idea of what's about to happen. We got a couple of games going on tonight, and we're going to dive right in it. We're definitely going to dig, and we're going to spend a lot of time on the college level tonight, but I do want to give the high school some love tonight. Strange night, you know, that's that end of the season, that Thursday night end of the season where the senses is it's the lack of referees, so we have to play those games. But what do they do all those other week, Coach? You know, if Thursday night got to be the night you have to play those games, what about week 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? Where do the officials come from then? Or maybe I'm just missing something.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that's just an easy excuse to say, hey, we don't want to be late Friday night trying to figure the bracket. We'll spend all day getting the brackets ready instead of and get it published on the website instead of on Friday night, late Friday night, early Saturday morning. That's my guess.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. But right now, just a few games that have reported scores. We do have Bruce up 14-12 to Strayhorn. We know the scenario on that. Bruce have to win by 5 or more to make the playoff. If they win by 9 or more, they'll be a third seed. So just winning is not enough. As you can see, I'm in studio tonight. I didn't go to the Bruce game. My wife's son had his senior night tonight, so I was over there for a minute, and I text my wife. I said, hey, it's good when they understand that this ain't just a hobby. They know this is the real deal. I told my wife, I said, hey, I got to get on the road. I got to go get this show started. So she gave me the thumbs up, and then I got on the road. But they are currently up 32-0 to West Lowndes, and I had posted on our TikTok page, man, I was very disappointed in the West Lowndes crowd. There was nobody. When I say nobody, I'm not being sarcastic. Sometimes when we say nobody, it's just two or three in the stands. It was nobody in the stands, and I'm sorry, man, but if my child is playing football, whether they 0-20 or 20-0, I'm going to be there. It was a shame to see that.
Yeah,
it'd
be an easy night for the gatekeeper.
Counting
the money.
Oh man, but I when you see that as a coach, though, that's something you don't want to see, because if you and one day we'll dive into that on how the numbers work in high school sports, but when you live off of your gate, you want a gate, and you definitely don't want that's a sight you do not want to see, is zero fans on the other side. But we have Tupelo up 42-0 to Lewisburg. You got Water Valley at the half up 19-14 to East Union. Kossuth is beating Alcorn Central 35-7. Winona, finally, they unpicked themselves off the ground and they got themselves going. They're up 42-0 going into the third quarter against Nettleton. And you got Corinth leading New Albany 7-3 in the third quarter. Cal City is leading West Lowndes 40-0 at halftime. And those are the only scores that has presented themselves on tonight. I might need to move my mic a little bit closer to this thing just in case some people start asking questions. I need to be able to look at it and be able to answer it. But Coach, how was your day, man?
It's been good. You know, we did our trunk or treat at work today, and so they put me on the grill after I got through working. So I haven't been home very long at all. It was a long day, but it's, you know, Friday Eve. I enjoy when you know that tomorrow's that last work day. I know I enjoy that feeling of when it starts hitting.
Oh man, and knowing what tomorrow's gonna be, but. Man, you know what? Let's dive right into it because, man, we got to really get into this college football week that we got going on. We're going to start with the SEC, and we're going to go on from there. But, man, I'm going to run down these games, and then, Coach, I'm going to let you get the rolling on it. You got number 9, Vandy, traveling to Texas at 11 a.m. That is going to be a big one right there. You got number 5, Georgia, going to Florida. You got Mississippi State traveling to Arkansas. You got number 18, Oklahoma, traveling to number 14, Tennessee. You got Kentucky traveling to Auburn. And we have Ole Miss taking on South Carolina. Coach, what is in the SEC tomorrow? What should we be looking for? Is there upsets on the horizon? There is one upset that I think I see, but I'll let you know when we get there.
Looking at the slate, I think from an upset standpoint, I think, like, could Kentucky get Auburn? I don't know. You know, I didn't look at it from an upset standpoint. I looked at it from a line, and I was like, 11.5's a lot. I don't think either team will be able to. I'd like to know. I should have wrote down the total because I bet it goes under. You know, we can go through them, but I like. Out of the games I picked, now I didn't, from a spread standpoint, I didn't pick a lot of covers, but I think it's a pretty standard week. I don't think there's just a bunch of chaos in the SEC this week.
Well, Coach, I do see one, and I think Texas is going to be going to beat Vanderbilt. I just think, and you can't, I mean, Vegas think they're 3.5 favorites, so. In the sense of point spread, over and under, it's not a upset per se, but if Texas beat Vandy, man, that's something. If somebody beats Vandy, it's an upset now.
Yeah.
Like what is a world where you ever thought that somebody beating Vandy was considered an upset? Well, it would be an upset right now.
It's a new era, but you know, just talking about, we can talk about that game for just a second. If you want,
yeah.
We can stay here with it. I think now I hadn't looked as of lunch. They had not confirmed whether Arch was playing or not.
Oh.
I do think that if Arch, you know, I think if Arch is playing, is the line more like 5.5, 6.5? So I think that Vegas thinks, well, there is a chance for Vandy because we don't know if Arch is playing. And they don't, you know, Texas doesn't block anybody. Arch kind of carries the offense with his legs at times. To me, that's why I picked Vandy outright, because I think that when you're not scoring a ton of points with your starting quarterback, who hasn't looked great, but you hadn't pulled him, I think they're going to play like a 6-year guy. If Arch doesn't play, they're going to play a 6-year guy that's been at like 3 different schools. He's been in the portal a lot. And if you can't score
– journeyman.
Yeah, if you can't score with your starter, I just don't know how you're going to score with your backup. And then Vandy, I think Pavia has proven, like, I don't think he's had a, I had somebody in a live ask me the other day, like, Pavia going to get any Heisman?
Oh, like, no, that's
not, he's not statistically, he's not there. There's too many guys above him, but he could get like an MVP status for what he's done for that team. You know what I'm saying? So I think I like Vandy, and they're just a team that's built, like, to me, they can win an ugly game. They've proved it, and I think it's going to be an ugly type of game. So I know it's on the road at Texas, but I've got Vandy. And the main reason is because we don't know what the quarterback situation is for Texas.
Well, the thing is, why I got Texas, I feel like the clock is about to strike midnight. I think that this has been an amazing year for Vandy. It's more than any Vandy fan could have ever expected. It's more than any Vandy fan could have ever even asked for. I mean, you are going into November at 7-1. Like, let that sink in. Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
A school that's, you know, you don't really look at as, you know, back in the day, it was the difficulties in getting in there through the clearinghouse. You know, I know a lot of people that probably don't even know what the NCAA's clearinghouse is, because those times are going beyond us. But just the difficulties of teams getting in, getting good players in, and now not even being on that upper echelon of being able to get that type of money to get the type of players in. I just feel like right now they have had an amazing year, one for the ages. And I just feel like on Saturday, I think the clock is going to strike midnight.
And I mean, it very well could. I mean, the line's the way it is for a reason. Texas will be you're a top 10 team going into their house. They're going to pack it out. It's going to be I'm sure it'll be an incredible environment.
Yeah.
But I think we could have made this case that this could have happened to Vandy a couple times and it hasn't.
Yeah.
They could extend it out. You know, I think to me, the Tennessee game will be
Here's the reason why I think that. People still, even though Vandy was winning, I don't really people grasp that it's Vandy. I think now this week, hey, this team will embarrass you. I think the preparation for Vandy changes. And I think Texas will be the first team that looks at Vandy, looks at their record, and not look at Vandy.
Right.
And I think for the most part, not saying people was looking at Vandy like, hey, they're nothing, but I feel like, you know, they overlooked their record and said, hey, this is still Vanderbilt. But you gotta close your eyes and say this is a 7-1 team, with a quarterback that unrushed for almost over 500 yards, got five touchdowns on the ground, who's tough as I don't know what, with a defense that has held teams in check. You have to look at that now, and I think now you're gonna start getting teams to prepare for the team, the numbers that they see, and not the team that they see.
Right. And I mean, it wouldn't be a shock for Texas to win this game. I know that people like to rag on them, but they lost to I think the front runner for the national championship in Ohio State in week one.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, this league will get you any given week, and Florida got them. But other than that, I mean, they've had some ugly games, don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
as of late, I thought they've looked a little better. So it wouldn't be shocking for Texas to win this game. But I'm rolling with Vandy. In my picks, I have Vandy.
So Mississippi State, Arkansas. And it's strange to say this, but is this a trap game for Mississippi State? Because they're still two wins away from getting bowl eligible. That's still, I mean, even with the type of season that they had, that's still got to be a goal. And they're two wins away.
Well, I mean, it's got to be a goal if you're Petrino, because that's, you know, if you could get a couple games, you know, that boosts your chance of getting that, of having a chance to get that job.
Yeah, he can't go 0-for. He cannot go 0-for and still think he's going to keep that job.
I don't believe he's going. He would get it. I think he would have had to make a pretty good run to get it. And I think that time's passed. But you know, I don't know how much a bowl game means in this era, because we're just in the playoff or bust era. My thing about Mississippi State is they've just had so many chances to get over the hump and haven't been able to. And now you're going to go on the road and try to do it again. Do you have that week where, like, it's just different trying to get up for it because you've had so many letdowns? Or, you know, do they come out? If they come out and play this, the way they have week in and week out, I think they've got a great shot. But
if they play like they've been playing, then they beat Arkansas by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely possible. I just worry about, and then I've read some stuff. I don't know how true it is because the first availability reports that's come out, Shippen's not been on it, but we're hearing that he's got some health, you know, something wrong with him from I don't know if it's lower body or what, but you know, I know people rag on him or like we need to go to Kamario Taylor, but I think he's been pretty good for him. I don't know what how differently they'd be if he's not 100%. And you know, I do think Arkansas's elite offensively. I think Arkansas can score points. I think it could be a shootout type game.
Well,
and
the
when
total
State's 66. Gotten into these, do what?
The total is 66.5. So yeah, I mean, Vegas think it's going to be a shootout.
So, and that's the thing is like Mississippi State's been in these games where they lost to Tennessee and Texas in similar games like that. And maybe being in them enough, you learn how to close one out. Maybe it's another heartbreak. I think it's an interesting game for sure.
Coach, and it also it's 11 points higher than any other SEC game. You know, yeah. 66 points. That's a lot of points.
Arkansas could score. And, I mean they're probably
I think I would go to under on that. That 66 is a lot of points, right?
I think it easily gets there.
that's a lot. I do believe for Ole Miss, you gotta be pulling for Arkansas, and here's why. I don't think Mississippi State. I don't think they beat Missouri. That game is at Missouri. They're not going to beat Georgia. The reason why I say Ole Miss fans should be rooting for Arkansas is because they lose this one right here. They're going to drop those other two. Now you don't. We're trying to eliminate incentives for the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
You do not want to add bowl eligible to that incentive.
Yeah. Already, if they can get one.
Yeah. They
They're
get
going
this
into
now. You go into the Egg Bowl with bowl eligibility on the line, stopping Ole Miss from getting to a playoff on the line. I mean, there's so much stuff right there, and you don't want that. I will be pulling for Arkansas because we need them to go ahead and handle business. Oklahoma, Tennessee is interesting. It's interesting because even though we kind of said last week that a 10-2 team right now, you're probably out unless some mess happened on the top, but you're probably much out, but you're for sure out. The loser of this game is done with because both of them sitting at 6-2. You're completely out of playoff contention altogether, the loser of this game right here. Speaking of Oklahoma, I do want to touch on this before we segue into Ole Miss. The things that were said, and I listened to, I looked at Lane's interview going for the South Carolina game and some statements made by Oklahoma. Was it legit comments that was made?
Coach, I'm going to tell you, I saw some All-22 film, and it kind of made sense why Venable said what he said. Our secondary blew so many coverages that I know I saw three different plays that if Mateer just does what he's done all season, it's possibly three touchdowns. I don't know if they win the game, but I think we'd have been in a shootout. We'd have been forced to do more.
Wow.
And you don't know what happened. I think our back end, and you know, we'll get into it as we go talk more about the game coming up, but our secondary is concerning. Like it's very concerning. Ole Miss's secondary.
I have been talking about that all year. The fact is something, I guess I got PTSD. It's something about seeing face guarding at Ole Miss. I have seen it in previous years. And like I said, when I see it, it makes me think that, okay, we're not good at what we're supposed to be good at because now we have reverted back to this style of covering. And when I see it, I always get upset because, like I said, it takes me back to a time that we wasn't very successful against the pass. And you know, when going into the playoff, you ain't they're not, you know, Georgia Tech ain't Georgia Tech of the past. You know, they don't They don't get in a wing T anymore. They don't get in a wishbone anymore. So, and then we have not been, we was good outside of two plays on Saturday, but, you know, just on the season, we have not been very good against the run.
No, it's an average defense. I mean, the advanced analytics puts you like right in the middle of FBS football.
Well, Coach, that's a good segue, man. Let's go straight to it, man. You got number 7 Ole Miss hosting 3-5 South Carolina. When I say trap, this is a trap game. This game reminds me so much of the Florida game that is scary.
Yeah, I will say when I watched Oklahoma all week last week, and I watched LSU the week we played LSU, and I watched Arkansas and Kentucky, I will say South Carolina just does some things that make me kind of nervous. I know Oklahoma had a really good defensive front, and I think that South Carolina can pose some same problems as far as scheming it. They're aggressive. I don't think they're great on the back end, as good as Oklahoma was, but defensive line, I think there's some similarities there. And, you know, offensively, what scares me is if you blow coverages, if you have coverage breakdowns that are
like we do a lot.
But then it's also like, and it's not a product of just blowing it from just a straight, like you saw something that triggered you to go in the wrong direction. I'm talking about the fact that Sellers can get outside the pocket and move, and then you have coverage breakdowns. Because he's capable of keeping his eyes downfield and hitting a throw on you based on the fact that he was able to get outside the pocket and make things work and keep a play alive. When he steps up in the pocket and runs, he's just a running threat. Like he's almost like a running back coming at you. But when he gets outside the pocket, that's what scares me. I think that if you make him stay in the pocket and pass it, I don't think he's as good downfield. It's like he's not trigger happy. He's going to get to that check down pretty quick. But if you let him get outside the pocket looking to throw, he can hit a big play on it. Yeah, you can go look at it against Alabama. He hit a few.
Coach, you know what? This is the perfect time for
Coach Benji, key of the game.
How do we win this week, Coach?
Well, and I think it starts, you know, if you want to start out with keys for offense, I think you have to find a way to scheme number 6 out of their game plan defensively. I think he's elite, especially when he knows that all I have to do is go get the quarterback. But the good thing with Kiffin is he does a really good job of scheming your defensive strengths away from you. And so I think it's, you know, find a way to make Stewart ineffective and then stay out of those obvious passing situations. I think that's one way you do it without having to scheme. If you make it so obvious, if you make it obvious that he can just pin his ears back and come, I think he's going to have a chance to get home. I think after watching several 8 weeks Ole Miss football, I do think our offensive line's okay. But you got to help them out as much as you can and not be in those obvious passing situations where that defense just pins its ears back and comes after you.
I don't mean to cut you off. I mean, we'll get right back into it. But I just got a report that Strayhorn coach was ejected at halftime.
That ain't good.
That's good for us, but it's reported that Strayhorn coach was ejected at halftime.
Not when your playoff line live is on.
Wow.
But yeah, so that would be my keys offensively. And then defensively, you obviously have to get number 16 Lenore Sellers on the ground. And I think the way you do that is
he's hard to get on the ground, coach. He is. He's tough to tackle, man.
And I think your best bet is to try to collapse the pocket from the middle I don't want to get a bunch of edge pressure that he, say you rush too far upfield, he slides underneath you, gets outside, or he steps up in the pocket. I think you got to make sure that middle's closed. He scares me more when he steps up and just takes off, especially if you try to send some type of pressure at him and you're playing man behind it. There's nobody there. You saw that a good bit with Alabama. And he just takes off. But he's tough to, you know, you got to get him on the ground. And then you've got to get off the field on third down. Where I get my advanced analytics, South Carolina is 133rd in the FBS on average third down distance. They are 111th in third and fourth down success rate. Ole Miss is top 40 in third and fourth down success rate. So if you can get them in that third down, fourth down situation, make sure you get off the field. You can't let them extend drives on you.
So just looking, I mean, we know how important this game is. And 6 o'clock game. And like I like the fact, I've told you Ole Miss at night is different. Ole Miss's night at night is different. And if that game, if South Carolina find themselves either down big or close going into that fourth quarter, that atmosphere shifts. It took a long time. I've witnessed it. It took a long time to have that type of place. But when it comes to that fourth quarter, when I say that stadium shifts, like, man, it is something to see. I hate I won't witness it this weekend, but man, it's cold. I watched that game at the house. But I'm not built for the cold like that. I was struggling tonight. But if Ole Miss can handle business for three quarters, I think that shift will be too much for South Carolina to deal with. And I think Ole Miss go ahead and pull off, because we have to. We have to, because if we don't get this game, I don't feel like he'll make the mistake with Florida like he made last year. So this is the trap game right here. I think he'll have, and then with everything that we'll talk about later on, with all that's going on right now, I think he'll be on his P's and Q's for Florida, either trolling or interviewing, whichever one we want to say.
I'll tell you, I think he's locked in, because you could almost say he overcoached that Oklahoma game. Like, he almost made some decisions that,
yes,
I think he wanted it so bad that he almost cost himself. And, you know, Ole Miss has a very good home record. I think they're like, what, 33 out of their last 35 at home they've won. I think, you know, you can't have a loss in this month of November for Ole Miss, because you don't want to get in a situation. I've said it on every live stream I've done on TikTok. I don't think you want to be 10-2, an Ole Miss 10-2 especially, because that means you're going to have landmine losses, because you're 7-1. So if you lose another game, I would call them landmine losses, because they're teams that potentially ain't even – they're not in the playoff conversation, might not even be in a bowl conversation. And that's not good for your resume. And then you know, your best win at this point, best win could be a 6-6 LSU team, or an 8-4. I think Oklahoma's got they're staring 8-4 in the face at worst. And so I think you need to go make sure you secure these next four games. And because I think 11-1, that you're a no doubter. You're a 5 or 6 seed at 11-1.
And like I said, a 10-2 Alabama will get recognition. 10-2 Georgia get recognition. I even go and say a 10-2 Tennessee will get another look. But like,
yeah,
you said,
absolutely.
A 10-2 Ole Miss is not getting. They're not getting that look, and that just be another situation.
Well, I'm not saying they couldn't, but I think you're taking it out of your hands and putting it into the committee's hands, and I wouldn't want to do that.
Not at all. Not the way. Not how smart they are. But just to segue, man. We speaking of Ole Miss, they're the chatter. And I know we're gonna spend some time on this, but it's been a lot of chatter. the chatter have got louder and louder and louder. I thought about some things today. I know you got some things you want to touch on today, on it as well. But the Lane Kiffin possibly going here or possibly going there, it's getting louder and louder and louder.
It is. And it's going to continue.
And I was thinking about something today. I always go into coaches and look at the coaches and I was talking to myself and I was like, you know, Alabama never had this issue of, man, where is Nick Saban going to go? I've never known them have a coach like that was parlaying trying to get somewhere else. And
you never hear of, like, you haven't heard Josh Heupel. He's done a great job at Tennessee. You're not hearing his name mentioned one time on the short list.
Coach, even to the extent, even at Auburn, what Auburn coach that was successful is like, okay, he is stepping up to another job. And I was like, why is it that, you know, the cost of success is always this chatter at Ole Miss?
Well, I think if Ole Miss had anybody else as their head coach and was having similar success, there would be some buzz. You know, Florida courted Hugh Freeze after that 2013 or 2014 season. They were really after him.
There's only two coaches that I believe that no matter what their success would have been, they wouldn't have never left on their own. And that's Matt Luke and Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. He wasn't going nowhere, but he was definitely courted. But I'm going to tell you just why I think you're seeing it so much. You know, you're paying the Lane Kiffin tax because it's Lane Kiffin. I think that we live in an era now with media more than ever. You're not finding it here. We're going to give you our opinion. We're not doing anything for clicks. But it's a click-driven media cycle, and his name is going to generate them. You can put whatever behind the name Lane Kiffin, and it's going to get clicks. It's going to get engagement. It's going to get comments, likes, shares. And I think that, you got to. I think that people are media members are using it because I'm just telling you. There was a podcast I listened to yesterday where the Grove Collective, the head of the Grove Collective got on there and they don't know anything. And he will be responsible for getting the NIL deals in place for the players if Lane Kiffin is the coach at Ole Miss come transfer portal season. Do you not think it's important for him to know? And he doesn't know. So if he doesn't know anything, none of these national media members know anything. The only person that knows anything right now, in my opinion, is these athletic administrations tied to these jobs and Jimmy Sexton. I'm not even sure Lane knows.
I wanted to ask you that because, to me, I understand the dynamic between my agent handles that. But when you look at a personality like Lane Kiffin, it's hard for me to think that he has no knowledge of what's going on.
I'm sure he does a little bit, but he doesn't know the final. Like what? Like if the rumor was true that Florida made their first offer and Ole Miss matched it, he knows stuff like that. You know, that was the rumor that Florida made their first offer, Ole Miss matched it in the moment and went back to the discussion. He probably knows stuff like that, but I don't think Jimmy Sexton's just in contact with him constantly. Like, what'd you think about this? I think Jimmy Sexton's like, no, I'm going to get the top dollar now. Then I'll go to Lane. So he probably gets updates, but I don't think it's something that's discussed daily. I'll put it that way.
I thought about cost of living today, Coach. You know, I'm an economic major. I'm not in school. I need to make that clear. I said that wrong. I'm an economic teacher. So cost of living is something. Matter of fact, we're on a project right now called Living on Your Own, where my kids got to figure out a way to manage their finances and know how to live on their own. When I look at the situation, and, you know, people will take my stance on it because I am an Ole Miss guy, so yeah, it's gonna seem like I'm. Yeah, you're gonna say that because you want Lane to stay. I want stability. At the same time, coaches gotta start looking at the cost of living, not the actual cost of where you're staying at, but is this job worth what I'm gonna make? Is if I move to Atlanta to make 20 to make I'm in Mississippi and I only make 50,000. I'm finna move to Atlanta to make 100,000. That seems great, but in Mississippi your cost of living is 20,000. So you're profiting 30. You go to Atlanta, your cost of living is 90,000. And I think sometimes we don't look at cost of living. So, coach, when I look at Lane, all right, we looked at, I never thought, now I do believe if Lane Kiffin would have had success in USC, he never left USC. I think he loved USC.
Yeah, that was the dream job.
And he just, Tennessee, I didn't really buy him staying at Tennessee. The Oakland Raiders, don't even get me started on that. Anytime you try a 70-yard field goal, you don't want to be there no more. So, and you know, the coordinator job, we knew he wasn't going to stay at Florida Atlantic. Wherever he was, we knew he wasn't going to stay there. I think USC was the place that if he could have got USC rolling, he'd have never left USC. I understand he's older now. He's 50. You mature. I think about myself, you know, 10 years ago, after the season that I had last year, I would have been trying to parlay that if I can go somewhere else. Now, I don't feel like moving. I don't feel like filling out no application. I don't feel like going through no interview. So if what I do ain't enough, I don't care, you know. So when do we get to a point where a coach say, man, the cost of living is too high for this job?
I don't think there is a point, because I think at the end of the day, Kiffin, the example, there may be coaches out there where that is the thing, but I'm going to say this. This is my thoughts on Kiffin. I don't know the guy. I'll probably never in my life have a conversation with
him. Don't say never, son, because we're moving on up.
Well, I mean, I may get to ask him a question one day, but I don't think I'll ever get to know what's your favorite color, what's your favorite movie, unless I ask, you know, so we'll hope. But I don't think money will impact his decision one way or the other. I think the jobs that get offered to me, will they offer me a better chance to win a national championship than where I'm at Ole Miss right now? I think that's the only question that matters, and the only person that can answer that question is Lane Kiffin.
And that
now he can definitely make more money. He's going to get more money for being in the situation. They're going to redo his contract, but I don't think that has to do. I don't believe that. For one, I think Ole Miss will match whatever it takes. I think that they've got the financial backing to make it work. But I don't think his decision at the end of the day will be, can I get another $2 million here? I think his decision will be based off, can I get a chance at a national championship on a regular basis?
Let me put you on the spot then. Can he win at Ole Miss?
Yeah. He's 7-1 right now. And barring some disaster, he's going to host a playoff. If things go scratch and he wins, because he's going to be a double-digit, or Ole Miss will be a double-digit favorite from here to the end of the season. You don't have to cover those games. If you win those games by 1 point and you go 11-1, you're hosting a playoff game, probably against, if you're the five, you're going to play Memphis or Navy or Tulane.
Wish it was Notre Dame, but go ahead.
And if you win that game, you might get your chance at Notre Dame, or yes, you might get.
Yes, that's who I want.
But the five's going to play the worst of the top four.
Which would be somebody that really didn't belong in the playoffs to begin with.
I mean, it's probably going to be the loser of the SEC. Whoever loses this. Yeah, they'll probably put – my guess would be if Ohio State wins the Big Ten, they'll be the number one. The winner of the SEC will be the number two. The loser of the Big Ten will be the number three. That way you don't match it up to where you get in those semifinals, you get the Big Ten championship game again or the SEC championship. They'll make it to where those games don't match up again.
But my
you're either going to get the Big Ten loser or the SEC loser.
But if A&M went out and they lose, and Indiana went out and they lose, the top four seeds should still be Alabama, A&M, Indiana, and Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying. It will be in order. It will be in some order. That's what I'm saying. The loser of the SEC championship game will be the three or the four. The loser of the Big Ten will be the three.
If it's A&M. If Alabama loses, I don't believe they get a top four.
Then who are you going to move up? You're going to put the ACC champion in the top four?
They have to. If Georgia Tech went out, they have to. They're ugly. Georgia Tech is ugly. That is.
Well, hey, then you get Georgia. Say that happens. Ole Miss somehow gets the five, and you go play then you play Georgia Tech. So you probably play a group of 12. There's a chance that, and then this also needs to be talked about. If Lane Kiffin, if things go scratch and they're in the playoffs, he's going to be coaching in the recruiting window. Still, he'll be coaching at Ole Miss during early national signing day. He'll be coaching at Ole Miss around the time if they get out of the first round during the transfer portal. Is anybody going to wait that long to hire a coach?
Yeah. Coach,
an entire window.
You just on the top four. Last year, Boise State was number three. Arizona State was number four.
That was ridiculous.
I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. That was horrible. That was horrible. So you're looking at, because last week, I'm not going to lie, you had me convinced that. Now, you did have me worried about LSU. I think it was how they lost. They got Les Miles. Why did I say Les Miles? They got Brian Kelly fired. I think it was how they lost. Not they lost, but how they lost. I think that's what got him fired. And I was convinced that, you know, Florida cannot offer what, you know, Ole Miss. I said it was a lateral move. But you had me worried about the LSU, and then boom, all of a sudden the LSU job pops open.
Yeah.
So is there they political parties jumping in it? Would that be enough to keep Lane? You know, I don't want no part of that, because I'm a personality anyway, and I don't want to mix my personality with the show they got going on over there.
Well, I think it's a terrible – it was just a mistake to say that Lane Kiffin's agent should be investigated. It was a terrible look to say that we're not going to give out another one of these contracts. So they admitted that they're not going to – you know, if they let the governor of Louisiana have the say that he says he's going to have, it's going to be – I don't know how that job's attractive. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
So basically, speaking like an NFL team that just saying they're about to just restart, because you're not going to get – what do you think you're going to get by getting a mid-level head coach at a major-level coaching position? And thinking you're going to get the talent to compete in a division, well, in a conference that's now moving to 9 conference games.
Yeah, and I think that to me, I thought the most sense before all this happened was, as much sense as it does make to go after someone like Lane Kiffin, I thought John Summerall made a ton of sense. He has a recruiting base in Louisiana because he's at Tulane. I think he's going to be a great coach at the Power 4 level one day. And you could have got him at the beginning of his big time career for cheap. But now you've said all this. I don't know who, and I'm sure somebody's going to take that job, because somebody, it doesn't matter. Coaches are wired that it doesn't matter what circumstances you put in front of them. They can, they can fix it and win there. I just, to me, and I'm gonna say this too, just in case it's not Lane Kiffin. Say it's not Lane Kiffin. We've seen with Auburn now what happens when the media pushes the guy. They push Lane Kiffin so hard, the fans pushed him so hard, and then if it's not that guy, it's failure because he was doomed from the start because the fan base didn't want him, the boosters didn't want him. He's their second choice. And I think that for some of these schools in this carousel cycle, it's going to be this exact same cycle in 2 years. I think that's why I think you should sit still if you're Lane Kiffin. I think you can raise your program a tier, and I've said this before already. I think you can raise your program up a tier without winning a ball game because there's going to be chaos around you constantly. I think that this coaching cycle is just going to – I think next year is going to be crazy, and then I think it's going to start all over again with the same schools after that.
Well, it's nerve-wracking. You know, I was looking at our coaches over the previous years. You know, and I had to double back on the Tommy Turbeville thing because I looked at it today. I was just looking at, you know, Ole Miss coaches and, you know, what was their drive? What was their motivation? I had to double back today because I had to look at the fact that Tommy Turbeville inherited a team that had half the scholarships. They was on probation and it was a mess. And he was able to build the program back up. He had to deal with playing. I know, I never forget the first time I saw Nate Wayne. I mean, a monster of a man. I mean, they scared the crap out of me. We went to go visit Fred, and he just bust through the door. And, man, I thought we was done. You know, hey, this big 260-pound linebacker just bust up in here, built like a, you know, like a machine. So Tommy Turbeville had to build the program back up. He had to deal with deaths. Unfortunately, it was one of our guys. You know, Joy had passed away in that tenure. Matter of fact, Tommy Turbeville did the eulogy at First Methodist here. And I had to double back on it because I said Tommy Turbeville had to endure all of that, build the program back. So, you know, him going to Auburn, even though I didn't like it, I didn't like how he did it, I kind of get it. David Cutcliffe, I think Cutcliffe, he came in, I think that Tennessee one day was something he was wanting to lean to whenever it came open. I think he would have stayed at Ole Miss until Tennessee came open. I don't really see him as one of those top recruiters. I think Eli was coming to Ole Miss anyway. He didn't have to do nothing about that. And that was obvious because outside of Eli, we never really had another quarterback under his tenure. I always thought Houston Nutt was here to try to find another job. Houston Nutt never wanted to be at Ole Miss. This was a place for him to find another job. Ed Orgeron, if Orgeron would have been successful, he would have left. And I'm still holding on. I like Hugh Freeze and Matt Luke. I just felt like success wouldn't have driven. They would have still. Matt Luke, even though personally, well, it was, I can't even say personally, it's more professionally. It was professionally personally because he didn't recruit my nephew. But but I do believe, I mean, his heart was Ole Miss. Like, his heartbeat was Ole Miss, and I don't think he would have went anywhere.
But Coach, and I know it's a different era. Like, there's 2020 and to now, and then there's 2020 and back. But name an athletic department, athletic director, chancellor combination through the Tommy Turbeville, David Cutcliffe, Ed Orgeron, and so on and so on and so on, Houston Nutt, that was as connected, efficient, was willing to do whatever it took to give the athletic programs the resources necessary to win.
Are you saying Ross Borch didn't do that? Whatever his name was?
Not on the level that...
he didn't do it.
I think... Now, I do think that Ross did some okay things, but I also think that he killed the football program because he just kind of let the NCAA walk all over him.
I think the investigation. Keith Carter being here made a difference. Keith Carter wasn't a person hired in that, you know, I'm just a good... I'm an athletic director. Keith Carter played and was successful under that banter. So it carries. It's almost like, you know, going to coach, even on a high school level, going to coach at your hometown. It's a difference. Not taking nothing away from people that go coach other places, but there's a certain motivation you bring with going back home. And him being.
But it took getting your chancellor on board with it, because everybody thought when he got there, it was going to be the same thing. It was going to be, which there's nothing wrong with, you know, making sure academics is taken care of. But I don't believe they thought he was going to buy into the athletic vision in the way that he did.
Now, the chancellor under Houston Nutt was a good one. He really bought into athletic. I don't think it was, like you're saying, a good connection between AD and chancellor. As far as, you know, everybody been on the same page. But the chancellor we had under Houston Nutt, I see his face. I just can't think of his name. Anybody in the chat that know the chancellor with Houston Nutt, go ahead.
Was it Robert Kyatt, or was that before?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is, like, but who was the – was Pete Boone the athletic director at that time? I mean, and that's all you got to know.
Might have been, so, and Boone was probably the worst athlete.
So you get that, you get both parties together with their coaching staff that's all on the same page, moving in the same direction. There's no divide. Egos put aside. It's the most efficient athletic department they've ever had. And I think that a lot of coaches would have thrived with the resources Lane Kiffin's getting. So what I'm trying to say is regardless of what happens, I think you could say Kiffin built the program to the stable point that it is right now, but I think it'll be easier to hand it off if something happens. I'm saying don't stress it as to the people out there, because there's, if you get on the internet, there's people stressing. And I think you just need to kind of relax.
No, I need to pull up the archives, because didn't I make a point about this about a couple of weeks ago?
I think you did.
Yeah, I got to pull the archives out.
I was just echoing.
I'm just coach, you know, we're just 2 years, a year and a half removed for the same thing. Every year, this can't be this. Every year, coach, I mean, every other year, this is what we got to deal with. When do we get to a point to where this is not always an issue? Like,
I think that. I don't think we'll ever deal with it with Auburn again. I honestly think that Freeze got himself another year. I think that we're going to have that whole discussion.
I'm just talking about in general. Every time a coaching job come open,
I think it's something like going to deal with.
We're not even, a liable place to be. You know, we're not even a place. And I'm just, as an Ole Miss fan, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of for instance, you know, and I didn't have an opportunity to investigate it. I hope it was true, but I think somebody that there's reports that Mississippi State offered Austin Simmons.
I don't think that's true.
I'm
sure that everybody's been on the phone offering him something.
And it's just at a point, like, as a coach, all right, for instance, when I was at Coffeyville, not saying I was the best coach at Coffeyville, but, you know, we had some success on the basketball program. You know, we was constantly in playoff contention. We was constantly in, we was constantly, you know, had an opportunity to go to Jackson. And every year my players had to deal with the rumors. Well, you know, he's going back to Bruce. Oh, he's going back to Bruce. To where it got to the point where I sat them down. I said, if I ever leave here, I'm going to tell you first. Because I needed to ease their mind that I wasn't jumping ship to Bruce, because what they thought, coaches from Bruce, everybody's saying he's going to Bruce. And when I left Coffeyville, I told my players before the playoffs, I set them down. I said, guys, this is my last year, because I had accepted a coaching job at North Panola at the time. And I was just going to do football. I was done. I was supposedly done with basketball. And here it is, 15, 20 years later, I'm still coaching basketball for some reason. But I just came out and told him, you don't have to deal. You don't. And we don't, I don't know what he told his players. He said he did have to have a conversation with his players. I don't know what he told him. I don't know what he told him. But it's, I guess as fans, man, I'm so over it, man. I'm so tired of, you know, that's the headline. When the headline should be, Ole Miss have a chance to make the playoffs this year. Ole Miss got a chance. And whether or not we say it affects us or not, those players that you think about, an Eccles, a kid that's a young player that's pretty much going to be, hey, I'm going to be an Ole Miss guy. I think that's just, he's going to be that guy. I want to be an Ole Miss guy. And you got to hear this constantly and constantly. That got to mess. And then you build relationships with your coaches. That got to have an effect on the players. I think that's what sunk us 2 years ago.
See, I disagree. I disagree, because if Kiffin left and went anywhere, his whole roster could go with him, scot-free, and he could stay with his coaches. 2 years ago, you couldn't do that. There was a one-time transfer, and that team was full of transfers that if Kiffin dipped on them, they were kind of stuck. Now it's unlimited. I don't think players think about it. I don't think players, and I'm not saying that there's not some. Like, I'm not going to – you made an example with Will Eccles, and I'm not saying Will Eccles don't care about Ole Miss and Will Eccles don't this and that. But if he wanted – if his coaches was the reason for his decisions, we can just follow him. Penalty free.
And you know what's sad about that? Is the one element that you need to be successful are the ones that's going to get screwed in the situation. That's us. That's us. That's us. That's the donors don't, transfer.
No.
You know, if I'm sitting here like, yeah, I'm sitting here with my wife and saying, yeah, I'm about to write Ole Miss this $2 million check, man. I'm so excited about next year. And then all of a sudden, Lane Kiffin is going to Florida. Let me tell you why Lane Kiffin should go to LSU. Baby, hold up. Put that checkbook up for a minute. Let me put that check up. And now we got that player that we can get that's waiting on that offer. But I don't know what Lane going to do, because ain't nobody talking. Nobody's talking. Ain't nobody letting me know anything. So I'm not about to write this check until I know what's going on.
Well, I'm sure.
Don't transfer.
I'm sure that might be the thought on some of them, but I guarantee you this is, you know, like in 2022, they raised like $10 million in 1 week. I'm sure there's been some money. I'm sure it's not to the same effect, because I'm kind of with you on the, there's probably some fatigue there. But I bet the Grove Collective's had a good couple weeks.
Coach, if we're tired, and you know how people, we've been around people that have money. And with money, with money comes control. People that got money don't want to feel out of control. And this gives you an out of control feeling that, you know, I don't even know what's going on. And now I'm calling my buddy. Now I'm calling you, because you were just about to write, because you motivated me to write this $2 million check. You got a $5 million. Like, well, hold on, Benjamin. We need to wait, because they ain't telling. They're not. I'm seeing. I just look at Pat McAfee, and they saying that it's almost a done deal. He's going to be at Florida. And who do we got to bring in? Who they're thinking about bringing in? Nobody's talking to us, Benji. So now,
well, behind the scenes,
that's $8 million.
But I get what you're saying. Behind
that's
the scenes,
$8 million we just held back on.
And I know And I get where you're coming from. I just think that you got to trust this athletic department that they've got the plan in place. I think they have a plan in place already if it happens, and they have a plan in place if the extensions. I'm kind of out on the Florida stuff. I don't think he's going to Florida.
It's just so frustrating. Well, I mean, what you just told me about LSU, it don't seem wise to go there.
I'm telling you, I'm starting to. I was like, and I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I was 50-50 this time a week ago, and I'm more like in the 65, whatever, do the math, 35. I think it's slowly creeping that I think he's staying.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating, my guy. It's frustrating because
winning's the answer to all this. Like, I think you just need to cheer for Ole Miss to keep winning because that just
winning
pushes
the
date
answer,
back.
And winning is the problem as well.
And it's going to put you
It's a double-edged sword.
But the more you win, the longer the season lasts and the window for him to be hired somewhere shortens. So you just got to keep hoping for winning.
And it's just I was wondering, you know, we drop one of these next four games. Is that the motivation for him to just go?
It would be some bad, because they're bad losses. I think that that was so important for them to beat Oklahoma. I think that that win kind of shut some of this down. So you cannot lose one of these next three at home or the Egg Bowl. Like, yeah, it definitely will have an impact.
Man, it's just we. Oh man, it's just the era that we in right now, and I hope whoever's putting this contract together that you will put a buyout clause that will trump those of those major programs, so we can quit being in the situation to where we are.
But you know that's negotiated language, Coach. And if I'm getting a raise every year because of my buyout so small, I'm not going to accept terms for a bigger buyout. I think that's something they may be stuck with. I think that's something that may be not, you know, part of – that might not be negotiated.
Well, from the looks of it, we just look like we just in a shape right now. Our trust is in time.
That's all it is. Time will tell.
And I don't like that. I don't like that because – fans are not patient. We pay to not be patient.
Right.
We pay not to rebuild. We pay, and it's a crazy dynamic. Everybody else, you get paid to be. We pay not to be patient. So it's just, man. Like you said, you win. Just win. Beat South Carolina this weekend, and hopefully we don't Washington State the Citadel and beat Florida and then make my Thanksgiving good. Well, Coach, let's look at the rest of the top 25. I keep looking up at the screen because Lamar Jackson and his whatever he got going on is back, and I'm pretty sure they'll take over the airwaves because he's been throwing touchdowns tonight. And but it is the Dolphins, two win teams going at it on Thursday Night Football. It don't make any sense. But the rest of the top 25, you got number 25. I told you Memphis was going to get up in there. Memphis top 25. Memphis 25 will go to Rice. You got Penn State, who is unranked, going to number one Ohio State. You got number 10 Miami going to SMU. You got West Virginia going to Houston, number 22, Houston. You got Louisville, number 16, traveling to Virginia Tech. You got number 2, Indiana, traveling to 4-3, Maryland. You got number 12, Notre Dame, traveling to 1-7, Boston College. You got number 13, Texas Tech, going to 4-4, Kansas State. You got number 15, Virginia, traveling to California for a freaking division game, for a conference game all the way in California. You got Purdue 2-6, traveling to number 21, Michigan. You got number 8 Georgia Tech, undefeated Georgia Tech, traveling to 4-4 NC State. Why did it feel like I said that a while ago? Well, I didn't. So many states and techs in my head. You got number 23 USC, traveling to 6-2 Nebraska, and you got number 17 Cincinnati, traveling to number 24 Utah. Do you see anything in that top 10 that may, anything funky can happen in that top 10 this week?
Not really. I don't think NC State's very good. Miami's going to probably smoke SMU. I think Indiana, Ohio State roll. I think Georgia wins. I got Vandy winning, and I got Ole Miss winning, so. Not much.
Kind of weak, huh?
Yeah. I do think the interesting thing, looking at the Big 12, you got Cincinnati and Utah. Cincinnati trying to control their own destiny in the Big 12, and they're an underdog. They're the higher-ranked team. They're a 10.5-point dog. Their money line is plus 280. I think that's kind of interesting.
Interesting. Very.
How do you feel about Penn State plus 1,000?
You know, if you just got money to burn, and you want to take that chance,
I don't think it's worth taking, but
get you
there's some value there.
Get you $50 that you wasn't going to use anyway, and you take the money line. if it pay off. Man, you gonna turn that $50 into $5,000.
Look
man,
like the
what
smartest
a Christmas
man.
You'll have. What a Christmas you'll have. So if you want to take that chance, get your $50, put it on Penn State to upset Ohio State. And is it plus 1,000 or is it 1,000 even?
Yeah.
Put your $50 on it, and let the good times roll. Don't watch the game. Don't look at the game. Just.
Oh no, you can't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at the game. Just do it, and going about your business, and check ESPN later on. Go to whatever site you need to go to. Check it later on, and maybe you might be looking for a great Christmas, or you could just say, "I just gave $50 away." Because I think I'm out of the. Well, it is Penn State. They did start off. No, I'm just. I think they're toast now. Penn State is done. I think they just as done as Franklin was when they fired him. So I think that's a wrap. But if you got $50 to burn, baby, burn that thing. I'm trying to get the scores on Bruce and Strayhorn. The last report I had was 22-14, I think I seen. So if you got the scores of Bruce's Strayhorn, go ahead and put it in the chat somewhere. They weren't able to stream the game live. They said Mr. Martyr said that the internet there was horrible, and that might be a reason why we haven't got a lot of updates. But I am trying to locate some updates because we do want our Bruce listeners to know. What's going on and if we still in this thing or not.
Sometimes no news can be good news.
Yeah, but sometimes no news is scary news too. And right now my heart kind of beat because we're getting to that hour to where that the game should be wrapping up.
Yeah, it should be getting late in Strayhorn.
Yeah, so if you are at the game in the chat or on Facebook, if you're at the game, or if you know the score, JC, my friend, you have done a terrible job tonight reporting on the game, man. And I don't know what to say to you, but you have done a horrible job tonight.
Chris Ford said 28-18.
28-18. We're up 4.
How did they get 4? They get 2 safeties? They were up 20. We were up 22-14, and that's 22-18. It's a weird score.
Yeah, it's weird. And if they can maintain, is that the game or is that the Well, how much to go in the fourth quarter? But they should be in the fourth quarter right now. If they maintain that, Bruce will end up being a third seed and will be going to Hamilton opposed to going to Baldwin.
Congratulations. And
that was important because Baldwin is in that top, that triangle of teams in the 2A. 5:50 to go, so they need to maintain and make sure that they don't allow them to score again. A score from Strayhorn will bump us out the playoff, Coach. That is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
that if they scored, and if it's 28-26, we can't even celebrate. So it's, we have to D up. So I don't know who's at the game, but you better be cheering right now because old coach don't want to go to Baldwin next week.
I won't say it on air, but it's like one of those, you know, those clinching that you'll be clinching for the next 5:50.
Hey, if you ain't tackled before, I need you to tackle tonight, baby. I need you to maintain. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll stay on until the duration of the game. We want to make sure you know and want to hear it from us first. I'm with you for it. I don't want to go to Baldwin either. So keep us updated on that score. Tell JC he's fired as an media person. We was going to give him his credentials, but he hasn't updated nothing on Facebook, so he is fired now. I don't want to hear nothing about no service. I don't want to hear nothing about none of that. Coach, were you ever in a situation, and I think you would. I don't know. Not your first 2 years. Y'all were terrible. But were you ever in a situation?
We just made the playoffs. We got one, you know.
Yeah, I remember. Trust me, I remember.
This happened to me my first year back at Bruce, though.
I remember the Hatley game.
We beat the – yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Lord have mercy.
Oh, it happened, though. We got completely left out. We beat the number one seed in our division and then got blasted the rest of the time. And the way the tiebreaker worked out, we missed the playoffs. But as a player, like, we won the division my senior year. Junior year, we were the two. Sophomore year, we were the four. Freshman year, with them.
Well, I tell you, the games like that, man, are you hate the points. And like I said, you when you control your own destiny, that is the best. You know, you hate to have to deal with points. You hate to have to deal with
28-24.
That's I didn't.
But a win, does a win lock you in? Or do you have to? By five. So
you have
knows.
To win by five to get the fourth seed. You have to win by nine to get the third seed.
Well, you ain't got to worry about him going 4 minute and trying to run the clock out. He's gonna go try.
Yeah,
to
he got. He got. We got to score. You got to score. You got to get out of that. That because winning tonight is not enough. And man, the crazy part of that, coach, is winning tonight. Would that push us to 7-3?
Yeah, we'd be 7-3.
And would be out of the playoffs if we don't beat them by five or more.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh my man. That got my stomach hurting right there. But we are going to stay on until we get a final score. So Ford, you are hired for right now. Get JC on the phone and you talk to him until this game is over with. Matter of fact, anybody that's at the game, if you can, well, no, you can't get on live because you're probably not listening to our show right now because they said the service is terrible. So we're looking at that. just, we do have some scores that have updated. Let me reload old screen here. Count City beat West Lowndes 40-0, which, you know, that was pretty much a given. Let's keep from going to Cowan City Bowl. We don't have a score between First Camp and Coffeyville. The loser of that game will be in Cowan City next week for the first round of the playoffs. In other words, we call that get your gym shoes together. yeah, that's all that is. You might as well go to that game. You might as well go to that game with your gym stuff. Be ready to turn in your stuff after the game. Corinth is beating New Albany 26-17 in the fourth quarter. That's a bit of a surprise. You had Baldwin beating Walnut. Water Valley beat East Union 32-22. But they clinched the division last week. Tupelo beat Lewisburg 49-0. Kossuth beat Alcorn Central. I'm in the Jackson area. You look at the games that's going on in the Jackson area. I'm just looking at games that has went to a final. All right, you got Scott Central beating Lake. Well, they're beating Lake now 35-22. Mendenhall beating Raymond 28-0. Mount Olive beat West Lincoln 50-0. Pelahatchie beat Puckett 55-0. Let's see, just looking at teams in that area. Kosciuszko beat Amanda Elzey 49-0. Taylorsville beat Lumberton 32-7. Looking, seeing if the scoring updated. You got West Lauderdale leading Choctaw Central 39-21. Let's see. That's about the only teams that have reported. You got Oxford leading Jackson Mura. They're in Jackson tonight. They're leading 42-0. So
why are all the teams that still have a, like, I get it for the playoff teams playing on Thursday night, like the last regular season game, but this is not for the big schools. They still got a whole another regular season.
I don't know why they're playing on a Thursday night. They ain't got no officials. That's what they keep selling us. There is no officials, and we need you guys to play on a Thursday night. So I don't know. It makes it tough on guys like me trying to make sure kids are at school the next morning. And that's what I'll be doing all day tomorrow, is checking, make sure our kids are at school, because when you play on a Thursday night, but let's see, on tomorrow night, we got, you got North Pontotoc going to Tisch County, you got Lafayette taking on Caledonia, you got East Webster. If Eupora loses this game, I believe they're out of the playoffs, and that's another situation that just blows my mind. You got Hatley. With the Hatley and Hamilton game, if I'm not mistaken, this is the second seed game. So this will be the second seed game tomorrow night. You got Pontotoc going to Columbus. Let's see, Grenada's taking on Lake Cormorant. You got West Point traveling to New Hope.
Coach, check the chat.
Wait a minute.
That'd be Strayhorn 32.
How did that happen? Ford, somebody give me some information. What happened right there? Because wasn't it 24? That's another touchdown and a two-point conversion.
So now you can only win by – I'm sure it's getting late.
Yeah, it was only 5 minutes at that point.
Four-point win. If Bruce got a touchdown, two-point conversion, you'd only be up four.
Oh, man. You're right. It'll be 36-32, and that's not enough. Wouldn't that be crazy to ever see a team that's up and have to kick an onside kick? That is, I'm not liking this right now. But Ford, keep us updated, man. I'm still trying to check the page. I see, Coach, it's 1:53 left.
Ain't looking good. But if you want to change the subject.
Yes, please.
You know who does look good? And we haven't shouted them out all season.
Oh yeah,
the Southern Miss Golden Eagle.
Coach, and you know what, I blame you. You are the NCAA guru of this podcast, and you have allowed fan chat, if you are a Southern Miss fan, then blame Coach Benji. It wasn't me. I'm the NFL guy.
It is my fault. I'll take blame for it. I try to keep up with, you know, there's what, 32 NFL teams. There's like 132 college teams or more. It's hard to keep up with all of them. But, man, they've got a real shot, a legitimate shot at not only playing in the Sun Belt Championship, but winning it. They, their quarterback.
You know what's sad about the coach? Is there a Conference USA?
The Coosa is still a thing.
It is. Okay.
The only loss Southern Miss has.
I thought they was there, so.
They went to the Sun Belt about 3 years ago because that conference was a conference that had Billy Napier as a head coach in it. Who was it? Troy. It was Summerall at Troy before he went to Tulane? And then, but anyway, they moved to the Sun Belt because that was a conference that you looked at as an outside chance at a group of five to get in the playoff conference, like a tough conference that, you know, it could do more for you than being in the Coosa. And then all them coaches left, and that conference has kind of fallen off, and the Americans now that conference. But they've got a shot. Right now, I think they're tied at the top of their division, and then James Madison leads the division.
Don't you know what I wish?
That they would face if they make the conference championship.
I wish we would do better at, and it's amazing that in Mississippi, we're not doing a good job at it. JUCO coming.
I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to make an effort to have a notes page. Hey,
if you unheard Coach College Show, you ain't got no apologies here. But we got to do a better job. The reporting on junior college football is horrible.
Yeah.
Like the finding the information, there is nothing that got, and maybe I'm missing it, but this ain't the first year that I've tried to get scores on junior college. Junior college is horrible when it comes to trying to find information on what's going on.
Yeah, even if you go to like the X form or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, pages, it's hard to get updates on there.
There's no updates, and it's just amazing of something that's so rich, something that's so, I mean, you know, JUCO basketball, I mean, JUCO football is legit. You know, national champions come from Mississippi. So why we don't have better coverage? It should be better coverage when it comes to that. It blows my mind that our coverage is not better than what it is right now. Coach, at this point, man, I'm not even going to respond to that, Chris Ford. I'm not going to respond to that, Coach. Coach, you don't respond to it either. But we're going to let Ford have his moment on that one. I will not respond to that. oh man, what a day. Not what I wanted to see. Not what I wanted to see today. Coach, you talking about the sail I've been taking out of the wind I've been taking out of the sail? Yeah, it's been taken out. It's showing 32-28 with 1:53 to go. And like you said, the best we can do on that is a touchdown and 2-point conversion, and we would have to get the onside kick.
Yep, it's kind of like you blew some when you blow some opportunities, you know, kind of got you in the situation again. And Ford is reporting that's final now.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun, everybody, because I think Coach Marsh is ready to check out.
Well, guys, it's been nice talking to y'all tonight. Man, this is – We're gonna end our show on Facebook Live. I will, if you want to see the, I do want to bring Ford in, and I want to do a good quick 5-10 minutes with him on TikTok. So those that are following us on TikTok, stay on there. We will be right there on TikTok in just a second. But we are going to end our live on Facebook Live. We thank you guys for joining us tonight. Make sure that when you get this notification that you share it with your friends, share it with your family. The Coaching Coach Podcast on Spotify, on Amazon, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, click that subscribe button, set your alert, and make sure you don't miss an episode. Coach, until we see Facebook Live again on Saturday night, man, we love it. We love you. And we will see you next. We'll see you Saturday for the Coach's Show. Those that are on TikTok, follow us to TikTok because we're headed there now.